help us to commence with hymn 307. And must it, Lord, be so, and must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn number 307.
Thank you. Let us turn to the Holy Word of God, and we will read from the Book of Daniel. The Book of Daniel and chapter 10. The Book of Daniel and chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, do now help us, we pray. We thank thee that thou hast brought us in peace and safety to thy house now, that we have thy word before us, that thou hast given us a place for worship, for prayer, for preaching, for reading thy word. And O Lord, to deliver us from abusing so great a privilege. O Lord, that we may come truly seeking thee with a whole heart. O Lord, do pour out thy spirit upon us. Do grant us a fresh anointing, we pray. Do grant that a fresh anointing, O Lord, that thou wouldst grant me that help in speaking before the people. Help now in prayer. Help unto the people in hearing and in singing thy praises. O Lord, how needful it is, for without thee we can do nothing. But, O Lord, we can do all things through the precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to thy will. O Lord, we do pray that we may be granted that heavenly vision by faith of the Lord in his glory. And, O Lord, that thou mightest be pleased to strengthen us, speak unto our souls. O, that we might know that true humbling and repentance and mourning before thee. But, O Lord, as thy word says, blessed are they that mourn. And, O Lord, what glorious blessings there are in scriptures for the poor and the needy, for they that mourn. Those that are repentant, sorrowful over their sins, seeking truly with a heart thee, O Lord Jesus, and the honour of a triune God. O Lord, we do pray that we may be so wrought upon this day by the power of the Spirit that we may truly desire to honour thee, to serve thee as we ought. And O Lord, to truly confess our sins before thee, to seek unto thee, O Lord Jesus, our Saviour. And, O Lord, we would pray for any that have come into the house this day and perhaps have been long accustomed to come into the house carelessly without any true desire after thee. O Lord, we do pray that they may indeed be granted by the Holy Spirit that vision of thy glory, thy majesty, thy holiness, thy power, that one day they must come before thee. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest truly in the heart reprove of sin and show unto them of judgment and reveal unto them a precious Saviour. O Lord, we do pray for any that have come and perhaps long have come seeking thee, but as yet are like the one those many years by the pool of Bethesda. Others receive the blessing, but not them. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou hast be pleased to appear unto them, to help them, to draw near to them, to grant them that heavenly touch, to speak the word only, the word of power, the word of life, the word of forgiveness and of mercy. And, O Lord, any that have come here greatly burdened and tried, not knowing which way to turn, greatly perplexed, or in pain, or in bereavement, or in great sickness. O Lord, thou knowest each one, how each one has come. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou would help the afflicted, comfort the bereaved, the tried, the troubled. And, O Lord, grant that increase of faith to cast our burden upon thee, for indeed thou carest for thy people. O Lord, we do pray then for help. Do grant that touch of the live coal from off thine heavenly altar, to touch my lips that I may speak that which is right, to rightly divide the word of truth. And, O Lord, do touch our hearts, our eyes, our ears, that we may receive the word. O Lord, we do pray for that grace now. Do help our brethren, the deacons here, in the choosing of the hymns, in all the responsibility that they bear. And, O Lord, strengthen them, encourage them in the way. And, O Lord, do grant thy abundant blessing upon the church here and congregation, that thou hast be pleased to favour them week by week. There may be that gracious building up in the most holy faith to thine honour and glory, that there may be that testimony continuing, yea, growing yet brighter to the honour and glory of thy holy name, O Lord Jesus. There may be that witness sent forth, but, O Lord, how necessary it is, if we are to bear witness, that we must have first seen ourselves. And, O Lord, do not leave us in darkness, we pray. Do speak unto us. Do not be silent unto us, we pray, lest we be like them that go down into the pit. O Lord, do come, we pray. Do grant us that soul-refreshing view of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. O Lord, we do pray for the children and young people here. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that there are many that thou hast favoured to come here. Indeed, they are favoured, privileged to come to thy house when so many in this nation, indeed this day, given over to the worship of the devil. And, O Lord, we do pray that they may truly be taught of thee, be encouraged of thee. And, O Lord, those that truly know thee, though they may well be young in years, that thou mightest keep them and preserve them. Guide them in the way everlasting. Guide them in the pathway of life. Those of the younger friends in education, O Lord, help them. Strengthen them. Direct them. O Lord, how needful it is that we know and seek thee to know thy will, thy calling, and that we may be obedient unto it. O Lord, we do pray for those of us that are parents, that we may have that wisdom in bringing up our children rightly in thy sight. O Lord, do deliver us, we pray, from worldly wisdom. But, O Lord, may we be in prayer unto thee, that thou mightest teach us the way, teach our children the way. O Lord, grant us that grace to so walk in the home as becometh those that profess thy holy name. And, O Lord, we would pray for the older friends, those that are drawing near evidently the end of their journey in old age and frailty, infirmity, any that are unable to come to thy house, that are maybe in hospital or in their own home, in much weakness, whether of body or of mind or both. O Lord, do appear for them and help them. Do comfort them. And, O Lord, we would pray that thou strengthen the weak by thy gracious hand. O Lord, we do pray, look in mercy upon us in the nation. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that even in the past days that thou hast foiled those attempts for further bombs, violence. But, O Lord, how we have turned our back upon thee, and thou hast raised up enemies in this world. We have turned our backs upon thee forsaken thy ways as a nation, and hast raised up those that utterly abhor us. And O Lord, look in mercy, we pray. Have mercy, we do beg. Yet we do thank thee that thou hast not utterly given us over to the will of our enemies. And O Lord, we do beg that as thou hast yet granted that space of relative tranquility here, we do beg that the word of truth may yet go forth in this nation. That thou hast be pleased to grant that outpouring of the Spirit, of repentance and faith, seeking truly in our land, that there may be ears open to heed those warnings that are before us, not only amongst the common people, but our rulers, those in Parliament, in government, in the royal family. Have mercy upon them and open their eyes, we pray. But, O Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast yet spared us. But, O Lord, our great grief is that the Spirit, for the most part, is withdrawn. There is not that power in our private devotions, in the public reading of the Word, in the public preaching of the Word. O Lord, we see not the power as in former generations, or indeed in other parts of this earth. And, O Lord, thou art no less powerful. Thou art almighty. Thou never changest. But, O Lord, what changes there have been with us, and alas, changes for the worse in our land, in our churches. O Lord, do turn us. Turn us again, we pray. Do have mercy upon us, we have grieved the Spirit. O Lord, do grant us a true spirit of repentance, not a hypocritical one, not a formal one, but from the heart, that we may truly desire to walk in thy ways. And O Lord, we do pray, for O Lord, we can only come pleading the precious name of Jesus, but what a privilege it is. Thou didst shed thy precious blood. O Lord, look in mercy upon us and help us now. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 270. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. Lo, thy captain calls thee out. Let the danger make thee bolder. War in weakness, dare in doubt. Buckle on thy heavenly armour. Patch up knowing glorious peace. Let thy courage wax the warmer as thy foes and fears increase. 270.
May the Lord help us to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and we will read particularly verses 18 and 19. The book of Daniel, chapter 10, and verses 18 and 19. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, be strong. O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Is it your desire and mine that the Lord, by his gracious hand, may touch us, that we may hear his word, that we may see the glory of God? Or if we come otherwise into the house of God, with no desire after the honour and glory of God whatsoever, the Lord sees, and the Lord sees your heart and mine. The Lord sees how you have come here. Now you note with Daniel how he received the great blessing here. If you turn to the previous chapter, chapter 9, how he received that great blessing, it was when he was in prayer. There he was praying, mourning, as it were sorrowful over his sins, with fasting. As we have just been singing, though to speak thou be not able, always pray and never rest. Prayer's a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. And how we have in these chapters that gracious example set before us of Daniel. Daniel in captivity, in the land of captivity, with many enemies. But here we read in chapter 10 how the angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him. Like the apostle Peter in prison, many enemies, no strength in himself, but yet the angel of the Lord delivered him. The apostle Paul in Jerusalem, nearly killed by the Jews, taken prisoner by the Romans, yet the Lord stood by him that night. When the Apostle Paul later was on that ship in the Sea of Adria, well nigh sunk, those on that ship well nigh given up all hope, yet the angel of the Lord spake unto him. Elijah, when he was utterly, as it were, cast down, had been upon the mount, seen that great deliverance at Mount Carmel, the appearance of the Lord with fire, the slaying of the prophets of Baal, yet when he heard the words of Jezebel, that wicked queen, that the following day that his life would be like those prophets of Baal, and he fled, and he came to the juniper tree and lay down and said, It is enough. He desired that his life should be taken. Yet the angel of the Lord came, not just once, but twice, touched him, strengthened him, fed him with that heavenly food, not a natural food, but that which was prepared of God. And in that food he went in the strength of it 40 days and 40 nights. And here Daniel, in this chapter, in the previous one, in chapter 9, when he was confessing the sins not only of Israel, but of himself. He never put himself above the rebellious house of Israel. What a gracious example we see. Daniel follows from his younger days in captivity right through till now. Yet, he always confessed his own sins. He was humbled before the Lord. He was not holier than thou. He didn't confess the sins of others, as is very fashionable today to confess other people's sins, but he confessed his own first. Saw himself as guilty before a holy God and confessed from the heart. And what blessings he received. I'd ask the question of you, has there been any prayer today? Was there any prayer yesterday or in the week? Was there that prayer from the heart? Was there any true desiring that the Lord would appear for you to have mercy upon you on account of your sins? Was there any mourning prayer over the state of the churches and the cause of the gospel in our land today? Or are we just content that we have such providential things as we're favoured with? And the Lord is gracious to give it unto us. But if all we can do is settle down upon the things of this life, and there is no seeking after the favour of God in Christ Jesus, is there any evidence that we have a true knowledge of Christ? Is there any evidence that if this day our lives should be required of, we should be with him? Or will we be with the rich fool in hell? Is our life a life of prayer? You see, in these accounts in Scripture, it is set forth before us that those blessings were received through prayer. That was the means ordained and is ordained of God. May we be stirred up to prayer. Pray without ceasing, it says in the New Testament. How else can we expect to receive a blessing if we be prayerless, careless in this world? If our lives are destitute of prayer, but here we have before us Daniel, a gracious example of one who was humbled by God, who prayed in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. The thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. But he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, that was when the vision came. The time of the Passover. The first month. So on the 10th day of the first month, the Passover, the Paschal Lamb was set apart. On the 14th day of the first month, the Passover Lamb was slain, followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sets forth the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice upon the cross. But here Daniel was not at Jerusalem, could not partake of the Passover. He was yet in the land of captivity. He mourned concerning the trials that the people of God were going through, the third year of Cyrus. a remnant had returned in the first year of Cyrus. Yet what opposition there was. What opposition there was to the building of the temple. The enemies round about them. Indeed, Daniel, in chapter 9, we read the first year of Darius, the Persian, when he received that confirmation that the Lord would grant the return. The 70 years were drawing to a close. But yet, was it not after that that Daniel was cast into the lion's den? The reign of Darius the Persian was a short one, perhaps only 2 or 3 years, according to historians. And it was at the close of the 70 years that Daniel was cast into that greatest of all trials. Not as a young man, as some books would portray him, but as a man who must have been some 85 years old, cast into the lion's den. In his old age, in his weakness, frailty in body. The Lord had appeared unto him in the 9th chapter. There, again, the angel came unto him. Whilst he was yet confessing, the Lord came and revealed to him the coming Messiah. Revealed unto him that the 70 years of captivity were about to end. Yet he must go through that deep trial in the lion's den. But all the time he was a man of prayer, and are you? Would we still be praying here if we had to face those who would kill us, imprison us, take away our property, take away our children, separate our families? Would we still be here? Daniel was yet praying unto the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him there and shut the mouths of the lions. And after the 70 years were fulfilled in the first year of Cyrus, that remnant, under Zerubbabel, they returned to rebuild the temple. But yet the third year, here we have Daniel still in the land of captivity. It's a man of nearly 90. He ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. What a desire he had for the good of Israel, the cause of God, a seeking after the Lord, a confession of his own sins. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. This is none other than the eternal Son of God. We read of that description in Revelation chapter 1, where the Apostle John, in his old age, in captivity, in exile on the Isle of Patmos, there the Apostle John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. Are you in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Or are you in the world on the Lord's day as well as every other day of the week? For how shall we be favoured with the sight of our Lord Jesus Christ except we be in the Spirit? We read, in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. It did so strike us that the hymn that we've just sung has about the golden girdle there. Bind thy golden girdle round thee, truth to keep thee firm and tight. And except that is given unto us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We need the truth as the truth is in Jesus, the strength as it is in Christ. So we read concerning Christ here, his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, that strength, that glory. His head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burnt in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Or recorded in Daniel, his words like the voice of a multitude. We have that description of his face as the appearance of lightning, his body like the beryl, as it the preciousness. Beryl, the precious stone, the preciousness of Christ, the power, the glory, eyes as lamps of fire, those eyes that, as it were, pierce through, do not look on the outward appearance like our eyes, but see the very soul and the very heart. His arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass. His arm is not weak and it is strong. It's mighty. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. And we read in verse 10, behold, an hand touched me. Again we read, his lips were touched. And then a third time in verse 18, then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. What mercy. What mercy that the Lord should send forth one of those angelic beings to strengthen the prophet, like Isaiah, when he saw the Lord upon the throne. Now was the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. When Isaiah was in the temple, he saw the Lord high and lifted up upon the throne. It was Christ. We have that testimony in John chapter 8. It was Christ that he saw. And one of the cherubim, or seraphim, one of those angelic beings, took a coal from live coal from off the heavenly altar and touched his lips. And he heard the voice speak unto him. But how Isaiah, how Daniel, how John were so, as it were, awestruck, so fearsome, as it were, the sight, awesome the sight of the eternal Son of God and his glory, and his power, his holiness, purity, majesty. But he fell on his face, like Ezekiel did, like Daniel did. But behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Here we see the precious grace of God to unworthy sinners in answer to prayer, not on account of any worthiness of their own prayers, but through the precious blood of Christ. There the mercy of God is seen unto poor, repenting, praying sinners, not just once, but again and again. That there was that divine hand, as it were, that came and strengthened Daniel by the ministry of the angels of God. There came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. Is it your earnest desire that the Lord would touch, grant you that heavenly touch? Are you like Elijah under the juniper tree. It is enough, Lord. As was revealed unto Daniel here by the angel of God. As Daniel must surely have known, there were those that were the enemies of the Jews in high places in the kingdom of Persia. But yet the angel of the Lord stood in the midst to defend the people of God. And how Elijah, when he seemed in his own eyes utterly defenceless, alone, yet the Lord came unto him. The Lord spoke unto him in mercy. The Lord granted him that heavenly food by the hand of the angel. When Peter was alone in prison, seemingly awaiting execution, there the angel of the Lord came. What mercy and what grace. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Oh, we should much covet and desire, pray over that the Lord would grant us that heavenly touch, to touch our heart that it may be softened, that is, not carry on in such a hard-hearted condition, caring nothing of the things of God and godliness, caring nothing for the worship of God, having a coldness when we come to the house of God, an indifference when we read the word of God. Do we have a desire that the Lord might touch us, touch our lips, that we may speak that which is right? Or are we content just to speak that which is worldly, that which will retain our friendship with those around us? Or are we still desiring a hard heart, a heart that would go after the worldly things of this life, worldly ambition, worldly careers, worldly service, worldly money, worldly leisures and pleasures? Oh, that the Lord might stretch forth his hand. We ought to pray. The Lord may grant us that broken heart, that softened heart, not a divided heart, but a broken-heartedness, sorrowing over our sins, sorrowing over the sufferings that our Lord Jesus Christ went through on account of sin. Or are we happy that we don't know the touch of God, that we don't know a heavenly touch? We carry on week by week coming to a place of worship, or not perhaps, as the case may be, content to be touched by many things in this life, but not to know a divine touch. Then came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. There was Daniel's strength, though in old age, though in weakness, though he must surely have been some 90 years of age, there was the strengthening. Not the hand of man, but the power of God. And he strengthened me. If the Lord grants that heavenly touch, you will be strengthened. Not might. Perhaps, could, but will be. The power of God. But I tell you this. If the Lord grants that heavenly touch with power, those of us who know his touch will know this, that it's a separating work as well. If the Lord for the first time grants us a heavenly touch of the heart, we cannot any longer carry on in the way that leadeth unto hell and destruction. And if the Lord come again unto us, that heavenly touch, to grant us a blessing in our soul, there will be that separating work yet again, that purifying work. Pure gold, a girdle of pure gold, as we sang. fine polished brass, purity. As the Lord is pure, he will have his people likewise to walk with him. Do you desire it to be so? That is a sign of the new birth. So there is a desire that the Lord may grant you those renewings in your heart. A desire to walk with him. A desire for that heavenly touch that you may forsake the ways of worldliness. The ways of pride, the ways of lust. As the ways of judging others. The ways of lying. But if there's no desire at all that the Lord should touch you, although there's a desire to carry on in a form of religion, there is no evidence of any life spiritually in your soul. Except the Lord grant that life, except the Lord grant that opening of your eyes, that there is the judgment, and it will be like those companions of Daniel, that they fled to hide themselves. And so it will be on that great day that those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, they shall seek to hide themselves, to call upon the mountains to fall upon them. Even at that time, they're not calling upon the name of God. Even the rich man outside whose house the beggar Lazarus begged, even in hell that man was not calling upon God. He was asking Abraham for this and that, and there's no petition granted. You'll call for the mountains, they'll call for the mountains in vain to fall upon them. There should be no hiding from those eyes whose eyes are a flame of fire. Or may these things be a warning to you and to I. Or that we may have a clear sight of these things, the reality of them. For there is a reality. Although many may seek to put it far from them. Each one of us here shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have read of here and in the book of Revelation. We shall each one, and shall stand before him alone. But Daniel was a man of prayer, of repentance, and of faith. And that is the way of salvation. True spiritual prayer, spiritual repentance. Faith, which is a precious gift of God. As we go on into verse 19, the angel said unto Daniel, O man greatly beloved, fear not. There, that glorious word came unto Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Not the first time either in this passage. A man beloved. Beloved by God. Oh, what precious words those are. There it was brought unto Daniel that he was a man beloved, greatly beloved. Fear not. We read in 1 John chapter 4 concerning love. God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And here we have the word, O man greatly beloved, fear not. There was the revelation of the love of God in Christ Jesus. There was that vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, in his power. Now that brought Daniel to see how of himself he was utterly corrupt. Yet the word came unto him, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Oh, precious words they are when the Lord speaks, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. So we may turn and quote it exactly in Jeremiah 31. For alas, my memory is bad, for the word of truth is before us, which changeth not. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. These are precious truths. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. O man greatly beloved, we read of the great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold how he loved him. We read that concerning Lazarus. What love! What love unto Lazarus! We read in Revelation, our Lord washed his people in his precious blood. There that word that came unto the Apostle John, unto him that loved us, the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us, the Church of God, that love unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There we see the love of God in Christ Jesus to sinners, that great love. In Ephesians, you may turn to it, chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That great love shown unto his people by the precious blood, his suffering upon the cross, shedding of his precious blood. What love that is shown there. O man greatly beloved, fear not. What effect the precious blood has. Think of Nicodemus. How before our Lord shed his precious blood, and Nicodemus feared to openly own Christ, came unto him by night for fear of the Jews. But when our Lord had shed his precious blood, then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came, and they openly owned their Saviour before Pilate, before the Jews, before the high priests. They came and besought the body of our Lord, publicly took it down, publicly, as it were, gave that honourable burial. Now there is that need that we may by faith see the precious blood of Christ. Oh, how we need the precious blood, precious blood. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Just when the Lord Jesus Christ had shed his precious blood, then he came unto his disciples and said, peace be unto you. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, peace be still unto the storm on the Sea of Galilee. I may be wrong, but I do not recall reading so particularly the Lord speaking unto his disciples, peace, before his death, before the shedding of his blood, before his resurrection, but once our Lord Jesus Christ had shed his precious blood for them, had risen from the dead, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And the Lord came unto his disciples and said these very words, peace be unto you. You, that is, you many, there were those 11 disciples. Well, one occasion 10, because Thomas was not there, but another occasion he was. Peace be unto you. Here Daniel was alone, so it was peace be unto thee. Precious, precious word of peace. And there will be no peace other than through the precious blood of Christ, through the work of salvation in Jesus. We may seek a peace here below, a tranquility here below, that we may enjoy all the fruits that we have thought to bestow upon ourselves. But the rich man who said, soul, yes, he spoke unto his own soul. It wasn't the word of God unto his own soul. He spoke with himself. Spoke or prayed thus, like the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. Sought to settle down upon his all the fruits of his labours. The Pharisee settled down upon all the good works that he had done, the position that he had risen to. But there was no peace there, no peace in hell for the rich man, who found himself before the throne of God far sooner than ever he might have imagined. That very night, his soul was required of him. But Lazarus, one who evidently had faith, in his Redeemer, although he had no help in this world. The word Lazarus means literally from the Hebrew without help. One without help. Helpless. Helpless, as it were, but yet helped of God. Not helped by the rich man. Not given a thing by him. But yet carried to glory. Truly helped of God through the precious blood of Christ. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. If we know the precious blood of Christ, the precious touch of the Lord, how that love, that perfect love, drives out fear, fear of man. There will yet be that true reverential fear of God, but the fear of man. Or how the blood of Christ is an answer, the perfect love of God. We read it's perfect love, pure, holy love. It's the pure and holy blood of Christ that washes away all sin and iniquity. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And there is the only true strength, through the love of God, through the precious blood of Christ. for his sacrifice upon the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. In Matthew's Gospel we read of the disciples being called to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there on the mount they saw Moses and Elias, that is Elijah, talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them. There was that precious touch from our Lord Jesus Christ himself in his sacred humanity, in his earthly ministry. He came to those disciples who were sore afraid. They did not understand. Peter said that which was imprudent, as it were, putting Jesus alongside Moses and Elias. And the Lord spake from heaven. God the Father spake, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Lord Jesus Christ came and touched them. What a merciful Saviour we have. How many times have we misunderstood the Lord's work, misunderstood the Lord's ways, spoken that which is imprudent, yet on account of the precious blood and the eternal love of the Saviour has come and touched us. And Jesus came. He came to them. Didn't send them away. Didn't say go. He came. Just came where they were. And so he comes where the poor repenting sinner is. Where the one like Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. The Lord came to him with that look. Looked upon him in the judgment, as our Lord was suffering. There the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon him, and Peter, it broke his heart, brought him that precious gift of repentance and deliverance. And he went out and wept bitterly. He couldn't remain in the presence of those that tempted him to deny. And if the Lord begins a work, he will call you to come out amongst that company of which those you keep company with, who bring you under that temptation to deny the Lord. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise. There's that word, arise, a resurrection power. Arise. Be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. We read of our Lord then speaking with them as they went down the mount. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. How we do need that heavenly touch, that we may hear what the Lord speaks. Without the Spirit, without the hand of God, we're utterly deaf, blind. Without the hand of God to touch our lips, we're dumb. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Oh, that the Lord would touch our hearts, that we may desire that the Lord would touch. Pray unto him that he may come unto us. and they that seek shall find. That is a precious, precious promise. Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. There was that willingness to hear. Willingness to hear the word of the Lord. Do you have that willingness to hear the word of the Lord? To hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches? Or only to hear like King Balaam, Balak said before to Balaam, what hath the Lord spoken? What is the word of the Lord? But only desired to have his own wicked heart confirmed. Oh, we need a heavenly touch, do we not, to truly come before the Lord and say, let my Lord speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. To have that heavenly touch like Ananias had in that vision when the Lord came unto him. There was Saul praying. And Ananias, the Lord appeared to him. And Ananias said this, not in the flesh, but as it were in the spirit. Here am I, Lord, ready to do thy will, ready to hear thy word. It was not a comfortable word. It was a trying one. Yet the Lord granted him strength to walk in it, and so he will grant you that strength. If the Lord has granted that heavenly touch, heavenly calling, spoken those words, peace be unto thee. If God be for us, who shall be against us? Although it must be a way of tribulation, it must be a way of trial, yet it is one that will lead unto heaven and to the honour and glory of God. Is that your desire? If there is that desire in your heart, with all the heart, Lord, speak unto me. Lord, deliver me from this wicked heart, the old nature. Deliver me from the temptations that so beset me. The Lord is gracious and merciful to answer prayer. And truly it is a sign of a new birth. So to desire the Lord and to walk with him. O man greatly beloved, fear not. It is the fruit of the love of God. For we love him because he first loved us. And that desire to walk with him, to hear his words, is that not a sign of love? Love unto the Saviour. And it is the precious fruit of the eternal love of God. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. For what need there is that we have that heavenly touch, as each one of us must one day come to die. But what a mercy it is if underneath are the everlasting arms, the glorious, loving, tender arms of the Good Shepherd, strong, loving, pure, holy, to bring his erring sheep to glory. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £610, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman, followed by a church meeting. And Wednesday evening, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach in place of Mr. Broom. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach, and hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Hymn number 267. Children of the Heavenly King, as ye journey sweetly sing, sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. 267.
do look in mercy upon us. Do forgive that which has been spoken amiss. And, O Lord, do apply thine own word with power, we do beg, by the Spirit. And do gather us up, we pray, in the Sunday school and in the evening service. O Lord, do gather us, we pray, that prayer for Spirit to come before thy holy name, and that we may truly be in the Spirit on thy day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.